doesn't matter how good you are, you must be born again. It doesn't matter how moral you are, you must be born again. It doesn't matter how religious you are, you must be born again, without which you will not see the kingdom of heaven.
This is an audio presentation featuring Bible teacher and pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. The title of this presentation is a very simple question, but quite possibly the most important question anyone could ever answer. Are you going to heaven? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
John chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. This morning, John chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And the title of the message this morning is, Are You Born Again? Are you, in fact, born again? Maybe you're coming in here this morning and you have some questions about that very thing. What does it mean to be born again? We're going to look at that. While you're turning to John chapter 3 and pulling out your note paper that's in front of you and the seat in front of you, I'm going to ask you to jot down the very crux of the whole message this morning. It's found in verse 3. John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, most assuredly, that is truly, truly, or absolutely necessary, is this. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is the word of Jesus Christ. This is his take on what it requires of us to enter the kingdom of heaven. He is the authority. And we're going to look at some of the things that surround this truth. It's been said, by the way, by many people, I'm sure that you would agree, that not only is John chapter 3 a very powerful chapter of the Bible, but it has been said that John chapter 3 and the first 16 verses are the most important verses of all of the Bible, because we find in John chapter 3 the demand put out by Jesus himself that each individual who is desiring, who would like to go, who wants to live in heaven, must come by way of rebirth. There must be a new birthing that takes place in their lives. Jesus is asking us this morning, are you born again? And this is the great question, and it depends on what denomination you might visit. They'll give you a definition of being born again. In fact, many of the cults today say, well, we're born again. And yet when you ask for the definition, it's altogether different than what the Bible says. But many people say, yes, we're born again. But what does it really mean? Jesus not only tells us that we must be born again, he's going to show us how to be born again. He's going to show us why we need to be born again. And the things that surround such a great demand of Jesus Christ to all those who would, as we put it in Christianity, be saved. There is no salvation without being born again. In this event, in this life-changing experience, we understand that if a person is born again, by the way, everything of life comes falling into its proper place. Politics, friendship, love, life, work, everything. It is the absolute most important thing to talk about, and that is being born again. And this morning we're going to look into a very fantastic portion of Scripture. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, saying, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you of the teachers of Israel or the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? This is a very serious portion of Scripture, as you can now tell. It's the meeting between Jesus Christ, God's Messiah, come from heaven to earth. It is a private meeting with a man who is the teacher of Israel. Nicodemus occupied a level of religious power in Israel that he was second to no one. There was the high priest, and then there was Nicodemus, who was the teacher. He commanded and he headed up all of the teachers, all of the rabbis in Jerusalem at that time. He was a very, very powerful man. It's exactly equivalent to Billy Graham coming and saying, Jesus, what do you mean? That's who Nicodemus is in his world. Very important man. Jesus is going to tell him, you need to be born again. All of us, by the way, have been born once, haven't we? We're here, aren't we? I would think we're all here this morning. We've been born once. The Bible says, Jesus says we must be born twice to get into the kingdom of heaven. Why? First of all, there was one birth that was into this world. We came via mama. Nicodemus is thinking, I got the first part. But immediately he loses track and thinks, now I must go back to my mother. He's thinking these thoughts strictly on an earthly level. Jesus says, as radical as your life was in coming into the world, just as radical is the new birth in Christ. There has to be a drastic, radical change. And at the expense this morning of maybe offending someone or running someone off, I don't intend to do that, but I do want to say the truth, and then I can wash my hands. I believe that when we were born into this world, our lives changed from living in an aqueous, warm, watery solution inside of our mother for 9 months. It changed so drastically that we came into this world, you know, ladies, your body began to go into convulsions and fits to push out the baby. And when that baby came out, that baby came into or from one world into another world. And poor little kid, that kid was greeted with a spank. Huh? Welcome to the world. You know, glad that you're here. The kid cries, draws air into his lungs. And there the baby is brought into the world. That baby, if you could interview that baby, if that baby could talk, that baby would say, what in the world is going on here? I'm naked. It's cold in this room. This guy's slapping me on the rear. They're sticking me in the heel. Someone's poking my finger. I want to go back where I came from. He couldn't go back. 9 months' time had come. He had grown to the place where he couldn't live in his home anymore. He had to come out. She had to come out. Born once into this world. The Bible talks about our spiritual birth being just as radical. I want to ask you this morning, are you born again? Can you point to your life and say, my life is radically changed having come to know Jesus Christ? I know by statistics, I may be speaking to half of this congregation that understands what I'm talking about. It's the other half that I beg of you this morning to listen to the Bible. Don't listen to me, listen to the Word. I'll be careful to go verse by verse. But are you born again? I don't know why you came here this morning. Maybe you were dragged by a friend, or maybe you were drugged by a friend to get into this building. I don't know. Maybe you were bribed. I don't know. But you know what? You're here now. Don't even think of getting up. The doors are automatically locked. You can't leave for an hour. Don't even attempt it. This is exactly what you need to hear. You may not like me. It doesn't matter. Look to the Bible. Look to the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible, share with somebody around you. But this is the most important topic that you'll ever hear, and it comes from none other than Jesus Christ himself as he speaks to this man, Nicodemus. And by way of introduction, we want to look at something before we get into our first point, and that is, number one, it doesn't matter how good you are, you must be born again. It doesn't matter how moral you are, you must be born again. It doesn't matter how religious you are, you must be born again, without which you will not see the kingdom of heaven. So if we get our yarmulkes on the back of our head, we get our robes on, we have our sandals on, we come walking by night with Nicodemus, a little bit behind him off to the side, to eavesdrop into a conversation that the Bible has recorded, and it is the paramount chapter of the entire Bible, Old and New Testament alike. This is what it's all about. So the first thing that we see here right now, look to your Bible with me, is this. Are you born again? We're asking this question, who can be born again? Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The first thing I want you to see this morning is this. In your note-taking, who can be born again? First of all, only those whom God has called. Who can be born again? Listen, it's very, very important. Only those who God has called. Uh-oh, wait a minute. What if God hasn't called me? Well, that's your problem, huh? No, I say that with tongue-in-cheek. I want to provoke you this morning. Maybe you don't know Jesus personally, and the Bible makes it very clear that many are called, but few are chosen. The Bible makes it very clear that before the world was ever created, God knew those that are His. Who can be born again? Those whom God has called. Is that you? I hope so, but that's for you to discover. Not in your own way. Not on some little, you know, I'm going to grow my hair out and get some beads and wear some tie-dye clothes and get a stick and walk around the world and try to go out and find myself and ultimately intervene. No, it doesn't mean to go on some strange quest. It means to go to the Bible and find out what it says. This is the book of life. This is the book. I was speaking at a school this week in Mexico, and I said, this is the Word of God. And this one young woman said, I don't believe it's the Word of God. I said, you don't have? Yeah, some men have written that book. It's full of mistakes. I said, show me one. I go, come on, in front of this whole class, show me one. Well, I can't find one here right now. I said, well, wait. Wait. See, people think, oh, you know, you can't trust the Bible. No, you read the Bible and you find out this is God's map to life. This is the Word of God. It speaks to us what we need to hear. We may not always like it, but it's truth. I don't like 55 miles an hour, but it's the law. It's the law. So who can be born again? Well, first of all, those whom God has called. Well, if God has called some people and not others, does that mean God has is sending some people to hell? Biblical theological answer, no. The Bible says that God has called all those that are His before the world was ever created, because in His foreknowledge, that means He knew everything before it ever happens, He, in foreknowledge, predestined us to become children of God. Oh, does that mean He, in His foreknowledge, predestined people to become children of hell? Answer, no. Well, then what is the answer? All those the Bible teaches who go to hell in rejecting of Christ go there because of their own choosing. That, by the way, is the sin of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, or the unpardonable sin. All their life, the Holy Spirit's been saying, you should trust God. You should come to know God. You should trust in Christ. You should look to what the Bible says. And they say, no, 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 like Pharaoh, until God hardens them in their position. Oh, yeah, see, God does the hardening. No, He doesn't. He sees, He knows that you won't budge. And He knew this before time ever began. That's why Romans chapter 9, which confuses a lot of people, it says that there that God made vessels, people, to honor, that is to heaven, and others to dishonor, that is to hell. He doesn't make people to go to hell. It says based upon His foreknowledge. Example, help me, play along with me. What are you going to have for lunch today? You know, somebody offer something up here. What? And in and out. God bless you. In and out. In and out. Okay? Somebody over here. Bob, what are you going to have for lunch? Taco Bell. He chooses Taco Bell. He chooses In and Out. Why? God's given you the ability to choose. Both of you, I noticed, have different wives, thank God. Why? You chose one, he chose the other. Based upon His love, based upon His commitment, that choice, that love is extended. Every person that winds up in heaven bows the knee and says, Jesus, thank you for saving me, for going to the cross and making it even possible for me to be here. Thank you, Lord. You see, we can't take any glory. Can't take any honor. Those who are in hell, The Bible is as those in the times of Jesus, the Pharisees, that said, "We will not have this man Jesus to rule over us." And when you live your whole life saying no to Jesus Christ in a personal relationship with Him, you're saying no to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says all manner of sin that is committed against the Father will be forgiven, and all manner of sin committed against the Son will be forgiven. But whosoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven in this life or in the world to come. Don't reject Jesus as Lord and Savior. So you might be sitting here this morning saying, "Well, gosh, man, I hope I'm called." Listen, if you're thinking those thoughts this morning, I got good news for you, friend. You're called. You want to know something? Those who are not called of God, who are vessels for wrath, based upon His foreknowledge, they don't care. They're not pursuing God. They're not coming to Him and saying, "You know what? I don't care what it takes. I'm following Jesus Christ." They don't think like that. They don't even say that. They may be very religious, they may be very moral, they may be very good, but they don't know Him. And they don't want to know Him unless they're in control. And to that, God will not submit. Who can be born again? Those whom God has called. And the word here is, "There was a man." Anywhere you see that in your Bible, get happy about it. Jot this down in your notes, will you? It's very important. John chapter 5. Verses 2 through 6, I'll just paraphrase it quickly. It says there in verse 5, "Now there was a certain man who had an infirmity for 38 years. Whenever you see that there was a man or a certain man or a certain woman, you'll read that in John's gospel, when there was a certain woman by a well. Why does it say certain woman or a certain man? Because in the Bible, God intends to do something about it. What about you? I got good news for us. We are certain people. That's why we are what we are and who we are and why we're here. We are certain people. There was a certain man who had a child, as the scripture says, possessed with a demon. Why does it say that? Because if you keep reading, Jesus delivers that child from demon possession. See, when God says there was a man or a woman or a certain man or a certain woman, He's focusing in. So vital is the first three words of this study. It's incredible how just a few words here, that there was a man here in our Bible, verse 1, it throws us back to the last three verses of chapter 2, which simply says there that the people in Judea, in Jerusalem, believed on Jesus Christ because of the miracles, the signs that He did. It means that they were superficial believers. They'll believe in God as long as they can get stuff out of God. And the moment God seems to be turning on them, they turn to God and say, "Why have you done this? Why are you doing this?" You ever hear people say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. And then the moment tragedy comes through the life, they either A, bow their knee to God and come to know Him, or they shake their fist at a God they said they don't believe in, and they say, "I hate you." Isn't that funny? How pressure in this life causes every man and woman to have to determine some path regarding Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself said, "If I be lifted up on the cross, I will draw all men to myself." And you know that's true in your life right now. You must consider Jesus. You may not like it. You may want me to shut up. But the fact is, you must deal with Jesus. And He's going to ask you this question. In your life, when you were on earth, were you for me or were you against me? And some people will have to say, "I was against you." Some people say, I chose not to make up my mind. And Jesus says, "These will go away into everlasting torment." And the Bible says that He weeps over the death of the wicked. He doesn't want you to go there. Joshua said to the children of Israel, "Choose you today whom you will serve. If Baal is God, worship pleasure. But if God is God, worship Him." John chapter 14, verse 6 says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14, 6. John chapter 6, verse 44 says, Jesus is speaking, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me." Are you thinking thoughts about God that you might want to know Him? My friend, those thoughts have been infused into your heart. The Holy Spirit is inviting you to come to know him. Listen, I'm going to share something personal, and then don't repeat it outside this place. When I was a new believer, I got so frustrated because I thought when I hadn't read enough of this to realize, I thought I could be good enough. Now that I'm a Christian, I'm going to, you know, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. I'll take it from here. And I thought I would just be like Mr. Holy Moly. And I'm not kidding, man. You wouldn't stand to be around me. I prayed for 4 hours every day for years. I would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and pray. And then I caught myself falling asleep. So I thought, God, I'm sorry. I'm failing you. So then I took all my clothes off at 4 o'clock in the morning and went into the bathtub, a cold bathtub, to stay awake so I would be diligent at prayer. I was a sick person. And then let's go share Christ with people. Let's share Christ with people. I wasn't sharing Christ with people because it was out of the love of my heart. I was sharing Christ with the people because this is what Christians do. Come on, let's worship the Lord. There's no life to that. I was the most disgusting person to be around. And God, I tell you, he got me in a headlock and he made me cry out uncle or Lord until I gave up. We must be born again. There is a certain man. This man, he prayed all his life. He knew the scriptures. He knew everything. And unless the Spirit draws you, as the Spirit is drawing Nicodemus here in our study, we're lost. Very important. There was a man. The second thing that we see this morning is this. Who can be born again? Well, those whom God is calling, and also those who see their need. It says that this man was a Pharisee. His name was Nicodemus. He was a ruler, and he was Jewish. A Pharisee, a ruler, and a Jew. A Pharisee means this man had rights, so to speak, to God by virtue of his education. He was a Pharisee. This man studied God all his life. His life was dedicated to God. The second thing, he's a ruler. He had a lot of influence and power. By the way, in that day and age, he also had a lot of money. They were very wealthy. The third thing is, he's a Jew. He's a son of Abraham. He was a shoo-in for heaven, if anybody was. Yet this man comes to Jesus, and he's urgent for his soul, as we'll see soon. You must have a need of Jesus Christ in your life. Jesus Christ is Savior of the world. But listen, for you to receive him as Savior, it assumes something. It assumes that you and I need him as our Savior because we are what? Kind of hard to say. We're sinners. We've missed the mark. We're not perfect. Ushers, watch those doors. We're not perfect. To say that we're perfect is to say that God was a fool in sending his son to the cross. God sent his son to the cross, which means I've been the fool. I'm a sinner. Jesus doesn't condemn us. He died on the cross to set us free. Do you see your need? Nicodemus is urgent about his soul. He sees his need. Even though he's wealthy as a ruler, he has the lineage, grown up in the synagogue, grown up in the schools, and even though he's reached a position of being a Pharisee, he's everything that culture would have said, that guy's going to heaven. Do you know anybody like that? You point to them and say, that guy is going to heaven. Well, how do you know? How do I know? Well, you know what? They read their Bible all the time, they pray all the time, or they do all kinds of good works. That doesn't get you into heaven. That's not the ticket. Nicodemus had every bit of good work, and it didn't account for anything. Are you born again? The question we're asking, what does it mean to be born again? Well, it all depends on who you ask these days, isn't it? It depends on if you ask a cult. They got their own definition for the word born again. Even some denominations say, well, you're born again, it refers to water baptism. That's how you're saved. You're born again by water baptism. That's not in the Bible either. The word born again literally means that we're born from above. We have a birth that transpires or originates from above. The word born again means this, to be born a second time, and it implies from heaven. If you read the context, it's very clear. So, verse 2 and 3. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God because no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. That's verse 2. Real quickly, I don't want to spend much time on this, but what we want to look at here regarding the fact that we need to be born from above, Nicodemus is quite a special man. When he calls Jesus rabbi, this is truly a sincere word of honor and recognition. And some ancient scholars believe that when Nicodemus used the word rabbi, he was awakened to the reality that for nearly 400 years, God had been silent. And there's a bit of excitement in Nicodemus's words. Rabbi, associating him with the ancient prophets, you are the one from God. This is what he believes. He doesn't know much, but he believes that the things that you've done, Jesus, I've watched you. Every bit of indication points to me that you are the Messiah. Now listen. He based that upon the last three verses of chapter 2. Where it says there that the people believed in Jesus, but Jesus didn't believe in them. Remember we studied that last week? They believed in his signs, but they didn't commit themselves to Jesus. They didn't believe in him as the Messiah. They just liked what they saw. You know, fair weather relationship. Nicodemus is not that man. He's not that type of people. Nicodemus sees the signs and it leads him to Christ. Listen, everyone. The Bible says concerning those who believe in Christ that signs will follow them who believe. Nowhere in your Bible does it say that people who believe in Jesus should follow signs. Now that goes over like a ton of bricks in some groups. We're addressing this on Wednesday night in our series on false prophets. Oh man, I don't know what it was, but I got goosebumps when that guy just opened his mouth. And what does that mean? Oh, it just means that, you know, it must be from God. What, you felt something? That's wrong. It's by faith in Christ, trusting in his offering upon the cross. To be born from above is to be born again. It is to have a birthing in the spiritual realm. The physical realm, we've all come via water through our parents into this world. That verse, as we'll see in a moment, is not referring to water baptism by no stretch of the imagination. It's earthly birth. Jesus says, you must even be born again. Born from above is what this word means. Having a birth that is spiritual and from heaven above. Secondly, it means that there is another life. It's true that there's another life to live. Thank God this life is not all that there is. Aren't you glad about that? In verse 3, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, boy, you better mark that in your Bible. He says it three times in these few verses. Truly, truly, or verily, verily, or most assuredly, it means, hey, knucklehead, listen up loud and clear. What I'm going to say is heavy stuff. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Did you ever read in your Bible, Jesus, to say, thus saith the Lord? Nope. He doesn't have to. The prophets did. That's because they had to. Because they weren't the Lord. But when you're Jesus, you say, I say to you. Why? Because he is the Lord. My prophets have been saying to you, thus saith the Lord, now I'm here and I'm here to tell you, it's me saying it to you. I say to you. And he says this, unless, can you circle that in your Bible? This is shocking. Unless, Nicodemus, one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Lovingly, bluntly, directly, Jesus says to Nicodemus, you are not going to make it in your current condition. Pick your area of expertise. Looking around this sanctuary right now, there's people here who are doctors. There are business owners. I look around, there are incredible housewives here. There are incredible people here. And in your area of expertise, can you imagine someone coming up to you? And let's say you're a doctor and somebody comes up to you and says, listen, you, in all of your schooling and all of your hard work, you have never really helped anyone. What would that do to a doctor? Well, it'd shock him. Nicodemus is shocked with this word unless. He says, you're not getting in, Nicodemus. You're not even getting close unless you're born again. You are as far away as can be because you have never been born into the world that I'm speaking about, Nicodemus. This shocks us. to our very core. There's another life to be lived, and it's done by the Spirit of God. And few people hear this. Nicodemus, you need a revolution to take place in your life. Jesus dismantled what he trusted in. Unless you do, Nicodemus, so to speak, a certain thing. And by the way, that certain thing is impossible for you to do. You will never see the kingdom of God. How can this be? It has to be done by God and by his power. Thirdly, this morning, are you born again? We ask this question, when can I be born again? I mean, do I have to wait till I die, or should I have done it earlier? When does this happen? Verses 4 through 6, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He's talking about when, isn't he? When? We'll come to the how in the moment. The when. I'm an old man, Jesus. He's sincere. Nicodemus is not rude. He's not being a secret spy. He came to Jesus by night because the evening has stilled. It's quiet. And he comes so that his conversation is not interrupted. And he says, listen, I know that you've come from God. You're rabbi. You are the teacher. You are one that has broken the silence for 400 years. You have come from God. And I want to just come to you. And Jesus says, listen, unless you're born again, you won't see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says, how in the world can this be? When now I am old. Jesus is not helping him exactly the way that we would like to see it. Jesus is provoking him to think. Think, Nicodemus. Jesus might have been thinking in his own mind and heart, Nicodemus, come on, man. Think. It's not getting back to your mother. It's about a new birth just as radical, but in the Spirit. Nicodemus is confused. He says, I'm old. How can this happen? Can he, a man, enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? It seems insane. Verse 5, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, or born of water, that is, and the Spirit, put those two together, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. There's the fleshly birth, the fleshly life, the earthly life, and there is the spiritual life, the born again life, the being born from above life. When can I be born again? Listen, when you repent of your sins, this is how Nicodemus comes. This is how you and I must come. Now, listen, people don't like to hear this word. I read recently in a book that was quoting a man. He said, and he's got a huge church, a worldwide church, by the way, it's global. Everybody in the world knows who this church is and this man. He says, I will not mention the word repent in my church ever. I will never mention it because it leads to negative thoughts. Negative thoughts. The word repent is the first word of the gospel. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You cannot be saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's repent, believe, and be saved. You can believe in Jesus just like you believe in George Washington and you're not going to be saved. It's repent. And you say, well, I don't like that word. I know. But you know what? Let me make you feel a little better. And doing so, drive home the truth even more. The word is a nautical term, you know, sailing or navigation term. It's about 2,500 years old, as we know it, this word. Repent. If a sailor was sailing on the sea, the navigator would be looking at the stars or looking at the sun and making things, and he would yell out to the helmsman. He would realize, we've made a mistake. We pulled out of port and went the wrong way. So the navigator would say, repent! He would yell that up to the helmsman, and the helmsman would swing that wheel around and turn the ship how many degrees? 180. That's what the word means. So you thought some fiery guy would just yell repent for no reason. That word means to alter your ship, turn your boat around. It's a navigational term. Last night we were leaving Mexico, coming back, and we had been teaching in Mexico for a few days and got on the, you know, taxiing out there in the plane, and this guy behind me, real big, a bunch of these big fishermen guys on this plane. And this guy goes, well, the runway's got a 3 and a 4 on it. 3, 4, 3, 4, 3, 4. Oh, I wonder what that is. And I'm thinking to myself, That's 340 degrees. But I have an advantage over this guy, even though he's much bigger than I am. I know how to fly an airplane. I know navigation. That plane pulls onto the runway 34. It's runway, technically, 340 degrees north. If that plane would have taken off, that man did not know what it meant, but somebody on the plane knew what it meant, namely the pilot. And it's important to me what the pilot knows. The stewardess, while greeting everyone, says, "Ladies and gentlemen, our flying time is going to be..." And she moved the microphone from her, and she opened up the cockpit door, and she goes, "How long is it going to take?" And the captain of the plane says, "Fast." So she goes, "Our flight time will be fast." Well, he knew exactly how fast we were going to be going. If that plane turned around and began to take off, and the tower knows something's out there, maybe there's a plane hiding in the cloud, that tower would radio to the captain of that aircraft, "Repent! Turn 180 degrees and get back. You're in danger." The Bible says, "Repent, people. You're in danger. You don't even see where your ship is going. It's going to go right off the edge. Repent." And we all get flustered. "Well, don't tell me to repent. Who do you think you are anyway?" "I'm God. I died on the cross for your sins. I'm telling you, repent. The end is a ditch. We must repent." "Well, I wish my husband would repent of his sins." I know. And he's wishing the same for you, by the way. And the children in your home are saying, "Well, I wish they would repent." And your parents are saying to you, "Children, I wish you would repent." Everybody's got fingers going every which way but the way they ought to be going, and that's ourselves. I cannot repent for you. You cannot repent for me. I must come to God and confess my sin to Him, and He will change the course of my life. When can I be born again? When you trust Christ. When you put your life into His care. You trust Him. When you trust Christ. Jesus, in verse 5, is saying to Nicodemus, unless you're born of water, that is, born into this physical world, which must happen, and second, born of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus has the key, and you can trust Him. You ever give somebody the keys? Here you go. I don't care who you are. You hand somebody the keys and it's like, "Boy, I hope they don't crash." You know what I'm saying? We're all like that. Can you imagine when you get your teenagers that got their license? What a funny thing. "I got my license." "Great. Can I go around the block? Can I go down? I'm gonna go to Baskin Robbins." "All right." And you hand them the keys and then you follow a few cars behind. You don't trust them. Not enough experience. They don't know enough. We can trust Christ. He died on the cross. There's an empty tomb in Jerusalem. He knows what life and death is all about. He fulfilled the scriptures. You can trust Him. You can rest in Him completely. Thirdly, under this third point, we need to receive His free gift. It's free. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 tells us that salvation is a free gift, and then you dare not try to add your works to it. You don't bring your morality. You don't bring your religious activity. You don't bring your goodness to God. God says all of those things stink in my sight. Though you think they're nice, they stink in my sight. Because, number one, you must come by way of the blood of my Son. Then everything else has its place, but my Son's blood comes first. You trust in what He did, and you receive that free gift. It's a gift. Then you're fine with me, God says. Fourth question, where does this change happen? Where does it take place? In three areas. By the way, jot down in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It talks about the trichotomy of man. Trichotomy, three. The three aspects of mankind, who we are. We are a body, we are a soul, and we are a spirit. Read 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May the Lord God sanctify you completely, absolutely, body, soul, and spirit. The body is obvious. You're looking at it. You are it. You feel it. That's our body. The soul is our reason. It is our mind. Soul is psuche in Greek. It's where we get the word psychology. Psychology, we pronounce it. It's our mind. Then there's the spirit of who we are. The Bible says that our spirit, until we come to Jesus, is dead. It needs to be born again, given life. So watch this. Where does this change happen? If I'm really a Christian and I've been born again, then someone ought to be able to point to your life and say, there's been a change in his life. There's been a change in her life. If they can't, then something's wrong. Jesus will make it undeniably clear in a moment. Where does this change take place? First of all, it happens within our soul. Our mind begins to think differently. Boy, some of you I know have come to Jesus recently, and you have told me recently, I can't believe how I see things more clearly now. Everything seems to make sense now. This is true. It happens within our mind, our soul, how we think, our changing is thanked. And people say, well, it's because you guys, you Christians, you read your Bible, you get brainwashed. This is exactly true. Next point. It's true. We get our brains washed. All the junk gets out of there. Second thing is, it happens within our spirit. We are born again. The spirit life is born. That's why when you're born again, you wake up in the morning the day after you got born again, and you're saying, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to read my Bible. And the soul says, cool. I agree. Let's do it. You're born again. In fact, let me put it to you like this. When you're born again and you get up the next day and you go out to sin like you always have all your life, your mind is saying, I don't think we ought to be doing this. And your spirit is saying, I don't think we should be doing this at all. And your flesh is saying, look to the third point. Hey, come on, let's go. Let's do it. We've been doing it all of our lives. Let's keep doing it. And the soul, the mind says, wait a minute. This just doesn't seem right anymore. I can't exactly explain why, but I don't think I can go down this path anymore. And the Spirit says, I told you we should have worshiped God. That's why those of you who are Christians, is there not a war going on inside of you? Do you know what I'm talking about? Isn't it, well, crazy most of the time, but thank God it's a sign of life. The great Bible expositor Harry Ironside was coming across from Chicago to Glendale, California, to the Church of the Open Door, way back in the early 1900s, and as he was on that big steam locomotive, they stopped in Nebraska. And he preached a message near the train. And Indians, Native Indians, came from all over. And when he got done preaching, a big, robust Indian man said, I know that I'm born again, and I know that I'm going to heaven. And Harry Ironside says, how do you know that so sure? You're very confident. I haven't seen this in very many people. And he said, the moment I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, I recognized two dogs that began to live inside of me. And Harry Ironside said, two dogs? And he says, yeah. He goes, one dog's white and one dog's black. And they fight constantly ever since I came to Jesus. And Harry Ironside said, well, which dog wins? He says, whichever dog I feed the most. I'm a Christian. But you live like hell for 7 days out of the week or 6 days out of the week. Guess which dog is getting stronger? It's the black one. But if you dedicate your life to God and it's a fact that you're truly born again, which dog gets stronger? Oh, the white one. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap of the Spirit. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. You might say, well, I think that's very narrow-minded. Well, you want to talk about narrow-mindedness and how it can keep you out of trouble? There's a light socket over here. Stick your tongue on it. Rub your tongue all over that wall outlet. You want to talk about narrow, and I'd rather go the broad way, the why. I'm going to find my own path. You want to see something? I don't believe in absolutes. Lick the wall socket. Number five, why must we be born again? Why? Well, first of all, there's no getting to heaven without being born again. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus said to Nicodemus, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? Eek. Ouch. Well, Nicodemus, the fact of the matter is, what you are, what mankind is unacceptable to heaven. And you say, well, my, I find that highly offensive. No, no, I didn't say what you are. It's what we are is unacceptable to God, not who we are. We are sinners that Jesus died for. He loves us. But what we are, meaning what we do with our lives. He loves who you are. He died on the cross to fix us from what we are. You know what I'm talking about? Are you a mugger? He died for what you are. He wants to make you a child of his. who you are, who I am. We were lost until he rescued us. And then he began to show us what we are. Liars and thieves and robbers and whatever. You might say, well, I'm not that person. Well, arrogant, pride, boastful, self-righteous. On and on it goes. The Bible says there are none righteous. No, not one. But he loves us and he made a way for us. Why must we be born again? Because what we think is corrupt. Did you know that? You say, well, gosh, Jack, you're just really, I'm getting nailed here today. I know, but it's for a very specific purpose. Those who want Jesus Christ will hear these things and say, I don't like what I'm hearing, but I recognize it to be true. I need Jesus. Some of you are hardening your heart against this. But it's truth. We think corruptly. So, well, I don't. Yes, you do. I give all my money to the poor. Why? Well, first of all, I can write it off at the end of the year. And I love the poor. I want to help them. That's great. But our hearts, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, they are desperately wicked and we can't even know our true motives. Why do we do what we do? To be seen by men, Jesus said. He's such a nice guy. She's such a nice girl. Why? Because, and they fill in the blank. No, you know what? He's such a great God. He is such an awesome Savior. Am I saying that we shouldn't help the poor or be nice? Or what? Of course we should be those things, but it's for him to notice, not other people. We think corruptly. We think selfishly. We get a photograph. We look for ourselves first before we look for anybody else. Oh, I can't believe I wore that. Look, my smile's all crooked. It's true. We think that's the way we are. But it needs to be fixed. And then also, why must we be born again? Because our hearts are what our hearts are made of. They are bad, God says. They need to be replaced. He says, I want to take out of your chest the heart that you have of stone and put within you a new heart. A heart that I can work with. It's because of what our hearts are made of. My friend, you're trying to mold somebody into something that you want and it's never going to happen. You're trying to mold that woman or mold that man. It ain't going to happen. They need a heart transplant. And only God can be the surgeon. Number six, and we'll hurry here. How can I be born again? Very important. Number one, decide to know the Lord. Make the decision now. Today, have you been pricked and provoked in your heart to get closer to Jesus? It's because the Holy Spirit's talking to you. You're like Nicodemus. Jesus, I know you've come from God. Nicodemus was basically saying, I want to know everything I can about you because I recognize something in you, Jesus. I need you. That's why he was urgent about having to be stuffed back into his mother's womb. It frustrated him because he couldn't do such a thing. But whatever, Jesus, you say the word and I'll do that. How about you? Do that. Humble yourself before him. He calls the shots. He tells you how to come in this Bible. By the way, he says, all those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out or push aside. And thirdly, receive his free gift. That's it. Receive it. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you to save me. And I accept the offer that you're making to me right now to be your child. Has nothing to do with any church, membership, denomination, priesthood, you name it. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 12.
This has been an audio presentation of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. If you'd like to learn more about what it means to be born again and to know that you're going to heaven, contact us. Our phone number is area code 909-393-7100. Or for any other information, you can pay us a visit at www.calvaryCCH.org.